Welcome to the latest edition of The After Party. It is your boy, Jay Connor, and today I am joined by the most extraordinary of contributors, Mr. Nicholas Gaines. What's up, black man?
Hey, what's good? We're here.
And as always, The After Party is a succinct 20 to 25 minute reactionary opinion on major moments in our beautifully black ass pop culture. However, today, with Father's Day right around the corner, we're switching things up a bit and we'll be delving into our experiences as black ass daddies. Now, we had a similar episode last year. If you haven't listened to it yet, it's called The Black Daddy Chronicles, and it also features Nick, and I highly suggest you listen to it. In which we focused on how our relationships with our fathers impacted our own forays into fatherhood. So today we're going to flip it around and focus on our experiences as fathers instead. So to kick things off, what's been your biggest challenge in fathering your children?
I think it's been a matter of trying to, we live in Utah, as I always talk about. Jesus. Let me take a drink. We live in Utah, and always reminding them of their worthiness, that they are worthy, that they are smart, that they are beautiful, that they are capable, that they are equal. Those are things that it's not necessarily a challenge to remind them of that, but it's the idea that I have to remind them of that.
It's not innate in their environment,
right?
Is what you're saying, yeah.
Right, and also I think teaching them resistance. I think that white supremacy is violent, and it always centers itself. So in teaching our kids that you have to resist. And so, you know, when people touch your hair, like, this is how you have to respond. When people say this about your skin, this is what you say. When people ask you about why your dad is black and your mom is white, this is what you say. So teaching them to resist supremacy in ways that is violent and damaging to them, I think is something that has been something that I have to do, but it's hard because it's like they're 3 and 7.
Yeah. That's difficult just because, like you said, you know, between the environment and keeping their ages in mind, it's a challenge to kind of empower and imbue these children with these kind of, you know, empowerment or whatever. I think for me, my biggest challenge in fathering my son, shout out to Aiden, who just started preschool this week, is involvement. To be honest, and I think that primarily stems from the fact that my son lives in another state. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to be as involved as I would like. And I'm still trying to, since he's so young, I'm still trying to learn how exactly to be involved in his life from another state, especially because in order to speak with him from another state, it has to go through his mother. It's not like he's a teenager or something like that, or even like 5 or 6 and I just pick up the phone, he'll answer it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's difficult in trying to figure out how to involve myself on a day-to-day basis or even a weekly basis or, you know, whatever, while dealing with that hurdle. I mean, that is like, that's a huge thing to deal with. And it's definitely something that weighs on me heavily as far as being a father, just because I grew up in a situation, even though I had a father, for those who didn't listen to the episode last year, which I encourage you to listen to, even though I had a father in my house, I grew up always feeling like I didn't have a relationship with my father.
Right.
So one of my biggest fears when I became an adult and before I had a son, one of my biggest fears was to be in a situation in which my son felt like I wasn't active and present in his life. So now to actually be like literally living my greatest fear is very daunting. It's very, it's traumatic, man. It's a lot to deal with. Obviously, I am not as involved as I would like to be due to distance.
Right.
And I mean, because when I'm with him, I'm extremely involved and I'm very active and everything is going on. But I mean, it's still the same result as far as living in a different state. You know what I mean? So if you care to discuss, what's been the most difficult thing you've gone through as a parent?
I think seeing the ways in which, I mean, for the people who are just listening, like I talk about race a lot, and I think it's because I'm hyper aware of it, living in an environment.
No.
And I think I don't want to sound like the person that's like, wow, this guy talks about his race, but like, yeah. It pains me as a parent to see the ways in which my son, my oldest son's in school. So to see the ways in which he internalizes how people treat him because of his blackness, because of his blackness, and not in spite of, it's because of his blackness. And mm-hmm. so to see the ways that he's deeply hurt by that, he's very, emotionally intelligent. He's very much an empath. And so to see how he takes that on hurts me, because I know what that means. And like, he doesn't have the language yet to articulate those feelings around like why this hurts or why, you know, but for me, I get it, because I've lived my whole life and body, you know, my whole body being Black. So I say that's hard. I would also say, I travel a lot for work. So I spend probably at least 2 weeks out of a month traveling somewhere else that's not home. And so it's hard to, I love my job. I love what I do. I love speaking and doing the things that I do for my job, but it's also hard not to be physically present with my sons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and to that point, I mean, as somebody who has experienced it on such a much smaller scale than myself, I'm sure it has a tremendous impact on you whenever you're gone and you're just like, oh, I'm missing so much. So imagine being in my situation where my time with my son is so minuscule compared to the time that I spend apart from him. You know what I mean? And that's a big reason why I tell, like, you know, friends and stuff like that, whenever they try to hang out with me, whenever I go to visit my son, I'm like, yo, I'm not here for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, if y'all want to hang out, y'all want to do something, y'all want to get together, come to LA. I don't have all the time in the world, but I will make time for you. You know what I'm saying? So don't come to me. Don't bother me when I'm on my son's time, because my time with my son is extremely limited. You know what I'm saying? How has your relationship with the mother of your children influenced your own parenting as a father?
I'm sorry that I'm like repeating. I mean,
no, you're good.
I mean, we work together to raise our kids, you know, and we both, I think, have our kids in mind in terms of wanting the best for them and trying to provide the best environment for them. And so, you know, I think that we're definitely on the same page in terms of trying to make sure that we are giving them the best that we can. And I think that we both travel a lot for work. And so because of that, you know, it's really important for us to be both, you know, present and engaged when we're there, but also engaged when we're gone. And so, you know, I think that we're very committed to making sure that that happens, you know, and so like, in this case, you know, their mom is gone now because she's on a business trip. And so, you know, my job is to make sure that, like, okay, I got to make sure that they send their video messages tonight before they go to bed. And, you know, that in the morning they'll send their messages and, you know, things like that to make sure that she feels like she's a part of it. And, you know, when I'm gone, she does the same thing. So we make sure that our kids, no matter what, feel loved, you know, whether it's with me, with her, when we're both together, that, you know, they're loved.
Man, no, that's a good answer. How my relationship with the mother of, well, I mean, it's just that, like, you know, we're operating in different spaces in regards to, you know, without going into detail, we're operating in different spaces in regard to not only our parenting, but our, and I think that's important why, you know, we're having this conversation, because I'm more of a untraditional, unconventional parent, the one that's, you know, the stereotypical deadbeat that, you know, doesn't live in the house with his dad. And you know what I'm saying? Whereas you're somebody who's, you know, living in sharing a home with your children or whatever else. So I think that's why it was important to me to have different perspectives and experiences on fatherhood and having this discussion. Mm-hmm. But as far as the relationship with the mother of my child, how it influences my own parenting, I mean, I am way more reliant on his mother than I would like to be, in part because I have to be. You know what I'm saying? And that's a big adjustment for me, just because I've always functioned as a self-contained entity. I've never been reliant on other people. I've never had to do anything or need anything from anybody. I've always had to do for myself. So to be in a situation in which you bring a child into this world and you're almost entirely reliant upon entrusting somebody else to, you know, care for, you know, your child is a big, I don't want to say problem. It's a big adjustment for me, just because I'm just not, like I said, I'm just not acclimated to working in a team. I'm somebody who doesn't have the best relationship with his mother. I'm somebody who hasn't talked to his dad in forever. And I'm somebody who has a great relationship with my sister, but I don't really talk to her too often either. So in times of, you know, distress, these aren't necessarily the first people I run to either. You know what I'm saying? So being in a situation in which I'm forced to trust her unequivocally is just, it's a major, major, major adjustment. Because if it was up to me, I would just handle it. You know what I mean? But I don't have that luxury. But what steps, if any, do you take to strengthen your family?
It's making sure, you know, I think, you know, there could be a lot of dads listening who feel like, kind of, as you know, as we've been talking, like, I want to do more. I could do better. I should be doing more. And I think it's really about making sure that the time that you are with your kids, regardless of whatever that time looks like, that you are present and fully engaged. like fully engaged. And so for me, it's like making sure that, you know, we're doing things together. And, you know, so just last week we went to go see Wonder Woman, and making sure that that's like an event for us, making sure that if we were watching the game, watching the, you know, the playoff game, whatever, like we got our popcorn and we've got, you know, our ice cream and our, you know, our Swedish fish, and we're doing that together, and that we're enjoying that time together without, you know, and I'm guilty of this because I'm kind of trash in regards to my phone, because I'm always kind of connected, in part because of my job, but also just because that's me. So trying to make sure that I'm mindful of like putting my phone down and giving my kids the attention that they deserve. But I think the way to strengthen it is to make sure that we, the time that we have with them, whatever that time looks like, however often it is that you are fully invested in that time, so that your kids know that like they are yours and that you care.
Especially with, you know, you having boys, man, it's just so important to be present. You know what I'm saying? And I, whenever I see Aiden, literally every single time I see Aiden, he freaks out. Like, you know, because he's just like, he's just so excited. Sometimes he'll just, and for those listening at home, my son is 2.5. So he'll
so like, handsome and adorable.
Well, that he is. But he'll just like fall out and just be like, ah, and just fall out and then. Or sometimes he'll just like run over to me and just grab my legs. And it just shows you how important it is to have and forge those relationships with your children. And like you said, to be present, because I genuinely feel like if I wasn't present in the minute, in the minuscule amount of time that I have to spend with him, he wouldn't react that way whenever he sees me. You know what I'm saying? So to know that I have that kind of impact on him at that age, even though I don't get to spend anywhere near as much time with them as I would like, is very meaningful to me. It just goes to show that, because a lot of times I beat myself up. I just be like, man, what can I do more? Like, I wish this was just a different dynamic. This is absolutely not what I had ever had planned in life as far as, you know, raising a child. But, you know, you got to make the most of it. And whenever you have moments like that, it just kind of reaffirms that, like, you know what, you are somebody of importance to your child. And to just, you know, stay the course. You know what I'm saying? Just stay the course. How important is vulnerability in your relationship with your children?
No, it's huge. I mean, it's necessary for my kids to know that when I'm on the road, that I miss them. It's necessary for them to know that when I wake up in the morning, that I'm thinking of them. Like, they need to know that their daddy loves them and misses them and is thinking of them. My oldest son, well, actually both my sons, but my oldest son specifically, every time I leave, I ask for a stuffed animal of his, and I sleep with it every night, and I make sure that he knows it. So I'll send him a little video message with it in my bed. And I want him to know that, like, hey, this reminds me of you. Or I have my youngest son draw me a picture, and I keep that in my suitcase. And that's something I'll hang up on my hotel window or my hotel mirror. And so just reminding them that, like, I miss you, and I love you, and I wish I was with you now. Like, that's important for them to hear and to know, and especially as black people. For our sons to know that our dad, like, as dads, like, my daddy loves me and misses me and wishes that I was with him. Like, that's important. Also, I think, you know, it's important for our kids to see us moved by things, you know? So I did my first boys only trip with my oldest son, and I took him to Seattle.
Yeah.
And I was working on an event with Dr. Cornell West. I was doing an event with him. And so I wanted him to meet him as well. So I took my son, and it was important for him to see, like, I have this moment where we were walking through Seattle, just holding hands at the market, at Pike's Market. And I kind of like got emotional. He's like, Daddy, what's wrong? And I just said, I'm just really happy that, like, we get to share this space together and that you got to come with me and see all of this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important for him to hear that from me and to, like, you know, I cried, you know, I had a crying moment. He needed to see that.
Real niggas, like, cry.
You know, cry, hashtag. But, like, he needed to see that and to know that it was also okay for him to feel whatever he felt, that we were having this really great, extraordinary weekend together. You know?
Yeah, that's real.
So
I always make it a point to, I don't have as many opportunities to be vulnerable with him as you do, obviously, but I definitely make it a point to, you know, emote and really make a genuine effort to bond with him in how I interact with the world. I want him to be cognizant of how his dad views things. And I hope that, you know, he's able to absorb and learn from these things, whether it's, you know, how I engage with his mother, whether it's how I engage with people in public, whether it's how I engage with traffic. You know what I mean? Like, I just want him to, I guess those are just different ways that, like I said, I don't really have a lot of opportunities to shed thug tears in front of him. But, you know, I just want him, I guess that's my way of being vulnerable. Like I said, you know, just showing him, you know, leaving an impression on him, regardless of, you know, the amount of time we have together. And, you know, kind of like to the point that I made about his mom, I just, it's tremendously important that, you know, we as fathers always treat, you know, the mother of our children with respect, regardless of whatever dynamic or relationship we have with them. I'm very grateful that the woman I have a relationship, I have a child with, isn't an idiot, and we get along very well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's good.
But I know there's a lot of people that have, you know, combative, hostile, caustic relationships with the mother of their children. And I still, you know, you gotta work through that shit, man. You know what I mean? If you can lay up with somebody, you gotta work through that shit for the sake of your kids. And I just think it's so important that Aiden sees that I treat his mother with respect. And in turn, he feels as though, okay, this is how I'm supposed to conduct myself whenever I engage with my mom, because this is what my dad does. You know what I'm saying? Because that's going to be the first thing he ever sees in regards to that. What do you need to improve upon as a parent?
So that's a funny question. So let me answer your question first. I need to improve on my sports skills. My sports skills are horrible, y'all. Like, Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
They're so bad. Like, I mean, I can run. I can do, like, you know, plyometric circuit stuff, because, you know, I was in the Army and I can do that stuff. But, like, basic, like, you know, playing basketball, things like that. Like, I really should get better at that. Now, what I have gotten better at is, like, my sons love basketball. They love sports. So I will YouTube, I will Wikipedia. I will, like, try to figure out, like, what does this mean? What does this play do? What does this mean? But I need to, like, do better at actually going to do it. So that's something that I need to, like, this summer, make an effort to, like, be outside shooting hoops with my son, as opposed to saying, like, I know what this layup means. Like, what does this do? Or this is the 3-yard line. Like, I need to actually do it. So,
yeah, you need to get out there, throw the football around, shoot some hoops. You know, you definitely got to make sure that you can, you don't have to be able to be out there, like, you know, crossing folks up, but you got to at least be able to play one-on-one with your kid without him, like, being like, Dad, you suck. You know what I mean? But,
I mean, like, I can play one-on-one and Kingston will be like, but Dad, you don't know what you're doing, which is, you know, I'll take the L. this summer, I just, the goal is to keep getting better, because Lord, I didn't do it. And then, you know, as a kid and then as an adult, I was like, when I have a son, I'm going to do it. And now it's like, oh, here's a whole ass career. Good luck with that. You know, so.
Word. As far as what I need to improve upon as a parent, involvement. You know what I mean? And that's part of the reason why I go as hard as I do in my day to day life professionally, because I know that, you know, with success comes more opportunities. So the better I'm, the more well off I am in life, the easier it is for me to maneuver between states. It's easier it is for me to bring him out here. The easier it is to significantly improve my degree of involvement. Yeah. So all else considered, I mean, considering he lives so far away, I definitely think that I beat myself up a lot because I just feel like I miss so much. But at the same time, I don't know anybody whose kid lives in another state and sees their kid as much as I do. So.
Yeah. And I think it's I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just about to say, and that's not to give myself a pat on the back, because as his father, these are things that you were supposed to do if you were capable of doing them. But it's just a matter of, like, Jay, you're not a shithead. You know what I mean? Even though you're not as involved as you would like to be, you're not anywhere near as bad or as terrible as you think you are sometimes. Right. You know what I'm saying? Well, go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, I've said this to you, and I even said this on the last podcast, and, like, the ways in which you show up for your son, you know, obviously listeners don't know, but the ways in which you show up and that you are present and are loving to your son, which is, like, huge. But I also think it's important for the listeners to hear and know that, like, I think that most dads would love to be with their kids all the time and have this amazing time. And the reality is that, like, the relationship with the mom isn't like that. Money isn't like that. Your career isn't like that. And time isn't like that. And so I think instead of us beating ourselves up around, this is how I could be better, it's about, like, this is who I am with my child. And these are the ways in which they feel loved. And I'm going to be the fullness of that with them. You know?
Yeah.
Because the situation necessarily can't change. Like, what are you going to do to change it? Like, it is what it is. But how do you show up when you do show up? That's what's important.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's real. That's real. And I think one thing that I didn't really understand until I had a son and I was in this position is, people aren't going to want to hear this, but the way in which parenting is kind of set up in regards to co-parenting heavily favors the mother. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, even if you impregnate a woman that you're not with, who's carrying the baby? You know what I'm saying? So she's automatically got the home field advantage. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of just navigating through that situation as best you can and, you know, making a concerted effort to be present. I think that that's extremely important, which is definitely something we both do. So shout out to Black Daddies. How has fatherhood changed you?
Jesus. I think that it has made me, I think the biggest thing, and it, see, I'm already emotional. Gosh, UJ. I think that my sons have shown me my capacity to love in ways that I didn't know existed. There were parts of me, I think, that I didn't know I could love in this way and love so deeply. And I think that now, obviously, the frame of mind, my paradigm has changed from like everything that I'm doing, especially with my career. My career is really important to me. Everything I was doing was like, this is about me, whatever, whatever. And now it's about like, okay, well, it's about me, but it's also about like building generational wealth for my family and making sure that not only am I building generational wealth, but like that my sons see me as like a role model and example so that they know that there is nothing that they cannot do because daddy worked through every obstacle possible to make this life happen for us, you know? So they've given me so much perseverance, because there's a lot of days where you just are like, fuck it. And you just want to leave. You want to quit your job. You want to say whatever you want to say to whoever, but you can't because you've got these kids that depend on you. And so they've taught me so many lessons that they don't even know. Like, they don't even know. But the biggest is that they've shown me how to love in ways that I didn't know were possible.
Mm. Whew, that's deep. See, and part of that, part of hearing you say that is so touching to me, but it's also so sad because it's like, I don't feel that same way about my son. Like, I want to feel that way about my son. And inherently I would, if I spent more, if I had more of an more involvement and more time with him, you know what I mean? And I think that that's one thing that's difficult for fathers who co-parent. Well, no, I don't want to say fathers who co-parent, but if you have distance as a hurdle, as an obstacle in being a parent, that's one thing that has, you know, such a tremendous impact, because it's like, I listen to you and it's like, I want to feel like, oh man, like, you know, this is made me so, I forgot the point I was about to make, but damn it, it was good. I just wish that I felt that I had that potency in emotions in regards to my son, because I love my son. That's mm-hmm. unquestionable. Mm-hmm. But I know for a fact that I don't feel about my son like you feel about your children. And I know for a fact that his mother doesn't feel the same way about him as I feel about him. And that's in part because I don't have that bond with him. You know what I mean? And that's part of the reason why, like I said, I go hard so that eventually we can get to a place like that. And, you know, even if we don't get to that place, as he gets older, he's going to be able to stay out here for the summer. Or as he gets older, I'm able to pick up the phone and talk to him every day. So in time, we'll be able to foster that relationship. But for the time being, it's very difficult to endure.
But for you, like, what, I mean, so of course, like, because we're different people, our experiences are completely different with our children and their moms. Like, so that's expected. But like, what has it done for you in terms of being a dad? Like, what has Aiden being in your life meant for you?
I think it's definitely forced me to mature. I think for overwhelming majority of my life, 34 years, I was Peter Pan. I've been free and clear to do whatever the hell I've wanted to do. I've always been a free spirit. I've never been somebody who's risk averse. I've always been like, hey, if I'm gonna do it, damn it, you know, whatever. I've had like 5 careers. You know what I'm saying? If I just felt like doing something, I just did it.
Yeah.
And if anything, it forced me to be more stable and to think before I act. I think that's the single biggest change that it's made in me, as far as like, okay, how will this affect my son? How will doing this affect my son? Because I mean, there's times when, and honestly, you know, I think I've joked about this on the podcast, but I have like really bad anger issues, or at least I used to, especially when I was in the military. But I've learned to like emotionally disconnect in order to, you know,
push through,
you know, survive and dissuade those emotions and the hostility that will manifest if I get angry. But damn it, I forgot the point I was gonna make.
Yeah. We were saying how it's made you mature, and like, I'm assuming that you like, can't cuss people out the way you want to, you know?
Yeah. that definitely is definitely something. Because I mean, I remember when I first moved out here, some niggas was out here trying to fuck with me when I was downtown, and I was like, listen, if I didn't have a son that was on the way,
nigga,
I would, because I mean, my thing is, part of my problem is I'm not some super thug ass, super gangster ass nigga. Let's just get that clear. Right. That being said, I've never had my ass whooped in my life, and I've never been afraid to fight. Just yeah. So I've never. Now, that being said, I haven't been in a whole lot of fights because I'm mature enough to avoid being in those situations. But I've never been, you know, on some like scary shit. So, you know, being in moments like that where you just immediately think, oh, I'm about to take these niggas' heads off. But then you're just like, okay, but what is the repercussion of me acting like this? Because especially in a city like L.A., you never know. Well, I mean, anywhere, but somebody might run back to the car or pop the trunk. And then now I got to deal with, you know, my son, you know, his mother explaining to, you know, my son, your dad's not here because he decided to be caught up in a moment. He could have been here, but, you know, he let his pride get in the way. So yeah. Maturity is definitely what he's made the biggest contribution to, as well as my bankruptcy. Shout out to that. Shout out to mounting debt that forced me to relocate in order to get ahead of my financial troubles. What is your greatest accomplishment as a father?
It's that I'm still here. For folks who, you know, listened to the episode last year, you know, I had a very interesting story, and I told myself before we had kids, like, I'm not leaving. I will not leave them. I will not leave my children. And so I think the greatest accomplishment is that I'm still here, and not just here, like living, breathing and sleeping, but like present and engaged emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially with my children. And also just the esteem that my kids have when they see me, like the greatest accomplishment is like when I come home and my kids run down the stairs and like, daddy's home, you know? And you know, my sons were trying to give me hugs and kisses. Like that's the greatest accomplishment, because I'm still there. I'm their hero. And if I was a not shit dad, they'd be like, you know, they wouldn't care, but they recognize the space, right? They recognize the space that they see the space that I hold in their life. And because of that, they respect me and honor me and love me. And I think that is the biggest gift that I could have, you know?
Yeah. I think my greatest accomplishment as a father is just starting to get emotional. Damn it.
I mean, that's okay.
What is my greatest accomplishment as a father? Honestly, I feel like my greatest accomplishment is being present.
Yeah.
Regardless of, and I mean emotionally present, not necessarily physical, just because that was such a big hindrance in my own upbringing that I was dead set on not being emotionally unavailable for my son. So the fact that he knows that I'm not, that when he sees me, he can find comfort, that I'll ask about his day, that I'll talk to him, that I'll engage with him, because these are things that I never really experienced as a child. That he'll, you know, as soon as he sees me, he wants to sit up under me. He wants to, you know, hug on my leg. He wants to know that I have that connection with him. I think that's definitely my greatest accomplishment. Well, thank you for the conversation. Sure. Do you have any final thoughts?
So beautiful. I think, you know, and I've said this before, but I think that we just have to remember that like the past has happened and the goal is to continue to build, you know, to continue to build. And so I don't want anybody to listen to this podcast to be like, oh, these guys are great dads and I'm horrible. Like, what are the ways in which you can always love and support and be present for your kids? And whatever those ways are, do that. It's not about being the most popular. It's not about being the best. It's not about being like, you can say you did this and that. It's about, what does my child need and delivering? That's all that matters. What does your child need and delivering on that?
As far as my final thoughts, I just want to say that, like, you know, men catch such a bad rap on Father's Day, and there's going to be a bunch of women on there dragging some of y'all asses, and there's going to be women on there talking about, shout out to all the moms that do both roles, which is bullshit because a woman can't do both roles. But I just specifically want to speak to, or give some love and light to fathers out there who are in unconventional situations, such as myself. You know, don't allow the relationship that you have with the mother of your child to negate your relationship with your kid. Regardless of what you might have going on with her, you got to see past that shit. You got to work through it. I don't give a damn if she spit in your face. Like, you need your child deserves you. You know what I'm saying? And you need to be in that kid's life. So regardless of what's going on with that, just, you know, persevere and be active. And to all the fathers that are out there handling their business, you are loved and appreciated and cherished. And, you know, regardless of this narrative that's extremely false about Black fathers being absent, just know that, you know, you guys are pillars in your community. And as a man to man, we appreciate what you do and in your contribution. So that's pretty much it.
Yes. That's it.
So peace out, y'all, and happy Father's Day.
Have a wonderful Father's Day, y'all.